Welcome with our study group. Today it is 6th August 2023. We are studying the first article of the Revelations and Doctrines of the Second Invitation. We came to first article 69b. It has been, we left off the last time. We went through a lot of ground. How do you say that? Maybe difficult
subjects
maybe. With the church, the LDS church, and with the the nuances of the people doing the right things with the maybe wrong reasons and doing the right things. We are learning to give all, not only our minds, but also our hearts. So I wanted to start with verse 68, just to have some reminder. So I will read 68 again. But what once in the times of old was foreordained for to be a means to achieve a beneficial end to the chosen spirits to come has become again among my chosen people the cause of stumbling on the part of those who were not with the heart prepared to receive such a doctrine. DNC 132, verse 3. And to others, the less spiritual, my words rang to their ears as being a concession on my part to the practiced arts of profligacy with women, who they took possession instead of espouse them as husbands. So we talked about this last time. And for me, I want to emphasize why do they become stumbling blocks? Because they were not with the heart. And then I would, for preparation to understand better the second part of the verse, 69 verse B, I want to share very short from the sealed book of Moses 11 verse 5. Maybe you would read that, Bao?
Yes. Moses chapter 11, verse 5. And behold, thou shalt be a light unto my people in the last days, to deliver them in the days of their captivity, from bondage to the precepts of men, and to bring them salvation, when they are completely bowed down under the sin of obstinacy in their hearts.
Emphasize, bow down under the sin of obstinacy in their hearts. So we are a generation which is bowed down under the sin of obstinacy in our hearts. So to understand this beautiful program which is now among us through the
harm?
Revealed. Yes.
I want to make a comment on DNC 132, verse 3.
Please.
Because as we read it in 132, verse 3, it says, therefore prepare thy heart to receive and obey the instructions which I am about to give unto you, for all those who have this law revealed unto them must obey the same. At the end of this book of Revelation, Mauricio gives us a new version of DNC 132, and he leaves off that last part. It only has Therefore, prepare thy heart to receive and obey the instructions which I am about to give unto you. That last part isn't there. I just thought that was interesting.
Thank you. That's very interesting.
And necessary.
And necessary. So, now let's read where we left off. 69 verse B. Any volunteers to read?
I'll read.
Thank you, Valera.
Oh, 69 B or A?
B.
Okay, B. Finally, these spirits already programmed to come to be born on this earth, often without a father, without a family, and in different corners of the earth, were in great portion largely rejected by society. And now, in nowadays, they add up to an amount of 150 million of street orphans or orphanages, who, if they had been born under this new and everlasting covenant, they might perhaps have been the sons and daughters of some members of the church in the present, but who, for some reasons, you now know, were born and still are born in Africa, Nigeria, or in other underdeveloped countries. And even if it was in your cities, under the imprudence of a young girl who lay in a bed out of wedlock, and as soon as seen herself as a single mother, abandoned her baby in a square so that whatever whoever found him delivered him to an orphanage.
Thank you. So I've been thinking a lot about this. Why would, let me ask you a question. Why would the Lord take such a time and precision in putting this to the front?
Well, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, and we're, I don't know that we're planning, we will even get as far as verse 77, but the Lord tells us all the things that those orphans have been telling the Lord. He says, you know, they've been asking, please, God, if you really exist, tell me, please, why I was abandoned, and please tell me that I don't need to be afraid and that I will still have a family, and goes on and on. I mean, the Lord is getting bombarded with all these questions, and he needs us to pick up the ball.
Amen. Thank you. I was first, when I was preparing this, I kept on reading. And even today, as I shared some verses with a few students, I felt I should be reading and only feel the Spirit why this is so necessary for us to feel. Because if you read along these verses, like say we would read to 74, and then it goes to 75, everybody knows. If we would only read that, it feels for me, we would begin to feel the solution, because it's hard. This is really tough. I was broken down in tears.
Yep.
More than once. But it helps to understand, in my view, the whole thing about Aaronic and Melchizedek priesthood. Correct me if I'm wrong, because it is about adoption and why the church, LDS church, especially, I think, has left so much undone. And this could be a key to soften the hearts of a lot of people. If we would only feel the magnitude that we, of the possibilities we would have, for the urgency and the priority of this problem. So, Africa, Nigeria, what do you think? Why call these countries? Suggestions?
Well, countries, Africa is a continent.
Yeah.
Nigeria is a country. So why specifically Nigeria? A lot is going on also in Nigeria now. But I wonder why Nigeria is being picked.
I think a lot of places could be picked.
Kenya.
It's just, it amazes me that the orphanages even exist. You know, that's a wonderful service that's being provided. And sometimes those aren't very good services. They aren't raised as good as they could be. But the fact that people step forward and at least establish them is at least one minor step towards helping out. But because they're being supported by governments and so forth, we kind of step back and say, well, it's already taken care of. And I'm worried. I think the Lord's kind of chastising us for them taking that kind of a consideration, not stepping forward and doing more.
Exactly. It was institutionalized. So first, like I read about the orphanages and the history of hospitals, and it all came down with the Crusades, that the people came back and they went to fight for the church. They came back, and then we had all the monasteries, and from there developed the whole thing of taking care of the in an institutionalized way with orphanages. And it's interesting that the Lord uses in 74, I don't want to get ahead, but he uses the situatedness that we would know of orphanages. And this is amazing for me, that he uses this to let us think about how in a few generations all these people would be able to do good things, where they now are excluded because we are so, and especially what it says here with the church, that they are too much involved with themselves, their own richness. I'm thinking about also the song of, have I done any good in the world today? Have I helped anyone in need? If I lift up the sad, made someone feel glad? If not, I failed indeed. So if we're too busy, and it says also with the preoccupation with our own family, with the temple work, people close their hearts if they're too much busy with their own salvation, maybe, their own family. So do we have any more feelings about this verse? Because it really says a lot. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I'm still sitting here reading this 69b and wondering if there's not more to this, particularly if we get out of our heads and get in maybe the heavenly perspective. It says 69b, finally, these spirits already programmed to come to be born on this earth, often without a father, without a family, and in different corners of the earth. Now, what does that mean, in different corners of the earth? Now, from the eternal round perspective, from what little I know about that, but have read in a variety of different places, is these family units have a tendency to come back together over and over and over again. Are they implying there that there's not enough situations for them because of what has happened with walking away from children and not having a Christian home to be brought up in, so that they have to be put in different corners of the earth? I don't know that I understand that, but that's what it feels like. And it goes on to say, we're in a great proportion largely rejected by society. I don't know. I think most of us have seen that movie, Mully. You remember that? Black guy that was led in Kenya to go out, and he was gathering those kids at night from underneath the porches. That reminds me a lot of this. I'm like you are, Mike, can't talk about it.
Now, you know, for me, I think it's so much about the inclusiveness of the gospel. You know, people without a home, without a father. For me, I think it has to do that we begin to acknowledge the importance of the family, and that what we would learn as, I was also thinking a lot about the Nemanja records, where they talk about the feelings of the gathering, the difference, you know, in the end of the Book of Mormon, and how they go to the Sabbath downtrodden. They come downtrodden out of the building, and with the Nemanja they are lifted up. They're one with the children. They sit in a spiral from the oldest to the youngest in a circle. And I think if we don't have empathy, like to become one, you know, that we should first should become a one as a people, spiritual, Zion, and then we are allowed to build the temple. So I think it has to do a lot with sacred ground, that the importance of the family, that you could grow in light and trust. For me, it has been, since we were in Brazil, it has been a total reset in understand and trying to understand what has been going on till now with my childhood, the whole political situation, the misery all around us, the end, which is in the beginning. It all has to do with that we could see this book as the only thing that would solve all the problems in the world. First, by beginning to repent ourselves, becoming one. And that has to do with looking at ourselves, maybe as an orphanage too, and a beggar, like King Benjamin says in the Book of Mormon. So I suggest we go to the next verse, and yeah, go ahead.
I think it also has to do with education. Because, well, I'm kind of thinking about the last part. After Nigeria or in other underdeveloped countries, and even if it was in your cities. And then it says, under the imprudence of a young girl who lay in a bed out of wedlock. But the boys are not mentioned here. And I just looked up imprudence, and then it's, then you're not being careful. But I'm not always sure if the girl who lays in the bed out of wedlock is laying there as a volunteer. Because, you know, you have a lot of women who are being raped. And yes, so it also has to do with education of men and to be in control of their urges and use maybe precaution if that is the case. Because I also feel like, okay, keep them coming so the spirits have a body, but give them a good home. But it's not always Yeah, well, like if a woman is being raped, and it is not a great situation, of course. So, like I said, it also has to do with education of the people about this subject, I think.
And identity. And it also says here in 68, who they took possession instead of espouse them as husbands. So here it says in 69, as seeing herself as a single mother. You know, so that's the beginning of the wholeness, that they took it apart, that there is no father, that she doesn't feel supported in the, as a unity, in taking up the responsibility of raising a baby. And
yes, and I think it's very important if it is possible that the baby knows who the mother is, you know, that you can keep in contact when a baby is brought to an orphanage.
And one more thing which I asked earlier, why does it say Africa and Nigeria? I was brought up with all kinds of little films for Amnesty International, or all kinds of good work, but always to give money. And I think with this gospel, we have the higher way to help people. So, yes, go ahead.
I want to make a comment about Nigeria. One of the things that happened there in Nigeria, that a lot of orphanages happened because of the Ebola crisis, and that families were wiped out and children were left without a family. And that may be why Nigeria is mentioned by itself.
I just watched or listened to a podcast that Suzanne sent me. It was an interview with the leaders of Mothers Without Borders, an organization that works in Africa, maybe other places too, but she said in Zambia, 1 in 15 children are orphans. And it's just like millions of people, and it's just so bad. And they're doing their part, you know, they're doing the best they can. They've built these schools to educate and to protect the children. And the schools run a lot better than the government schools, but it's just such a problem there. So, but there are some organizations that are trying to make a difference in the lives of these children.
Yes, and also, Mothers Without.
Yeah.
Dara.
The Mothers Without Borders, whatnot. What they're doing in Africa is they're because of the AIDS epidemic, then the parents were wiped out and grandparents were trying to raise these children. And then with their ill health and age, they died, leaving all of these children destitute and without family. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's interesting that those two places were diseased and things that happened to allow these children. But when it says that these spirits already programmed, so all of this was known the end from the beginning, these children are here. What are we going to do about it? It was designed, that was understood. So I think it's fascinating the way that it's laid out for us to figure out what is our part, and praying to ask the Lord to know what we can do as a whole, as a society, as a global oneness, to recognize the problem and love, and not just be in the safety of our own walls going, wow, those poor people. That allows us to prick our hearts and to see what can be done with
exactly.
With my scope as well.
Exactly. Thank you, Doc. That's exactly what I meant with the preparation beforehand with Africa, you know, and the different corners. Brother Bob wanted to say something. Brother Bill was first.
Thanks, Harm. Harm, thanks for bringing up the Nemenha records, because the Nemenha talk about how man will always have this nature to dominate and control, but Eve has not the nature of man, and that man must obey the laws of God and follow the practices of his wife so that he can learn to be compassionate, loving, and caring. And that's how we overcome this evil nature. That's in the Nemenha records.
Thank you. Brother Robert?
Yes, I just wanted to make a couple of comments here. I don't know really how to say it, but there's some instances, even in our people who associate with our meetings in our second invitation, who have abused the situation with orphanages. For example, some of our Brother Samuel is well aware of this. Brother Samuel Gould has already, before the second invitation, they had in his church, they were providing missionary help and physical help, humanitarian aid to people in Kenya. And he's quite familiar with the situations with orphans there. And he has, listening to him, he'll say, sometimes a person is said to be an orphan when they are not really a true orphan, that they do have relatives. And the abuse comes in, even people that you know who probably attend our meetings from time to time and say, please send me money to help care for these group of six orphans that I have. Well, that may or may not be true. And Samuel has experienced that. And so there's a lot of abuse. And even without the church, you know, it touches our heart to give to somebody soliciting money for orphans. But you can see it documentaries on YouTube that sometimes a person will gather true orphans, but the orphans see very little of the money that is given from overseas. You know, it's really hard to manage that the people who run the orphanages use it as a source of income, you know, to provide for their own needs and give little aid to the actual children, whether they're orphans or not, in the orphanage. There's there was an Australian lawyer who had given money to an orphanage in India, who had and so she for whatever reason went there and investigated, and it was the situation that I described. At least some of the children were like purchased from people, families in Nepal who couldn't afford to raise their children. And so the orphanage would then take the child and say that the child was an orphan when they did have parents. And what this Australian lawyer would do is she started a ministry there where she would take and find the children who had parents and return them to the parents and help support the child, you know, in the home. I just wanted to, I don't know, it's kind of hard to talk that way, but just be careful when you have a request for money for an orphanage. And even now, if you, from what I've read on the internet, is that orphanages is really an institution that needs to be abandoned, that the best result is to place the children in homes, you know, like, I don't know, there's a lot of, in the United States, they have a foster care system. Well, there's a lot of problems with that, but that's superior to having an orphanage. And so, and one more point here, you can read about teenage pregnancy in Brazil. And so as the second invitation grows and the city of refuge grows, there'll be opportunities. There's a lot of street children in Brazil. And so it's be really close to home there. And I imagine it's even in where each of our own cities. Anyway, that's just a couple of comments, but this is a really hard situation or touching or, you know, emotional, because I know I was thinking could Melvin and I have raised, you know, one orphan even? How would that have affected our family? You know, I do know a family here who had raised their two or three children, and when they were, you know, grown or nearly grown, they adopted four more children and raised them in their older years. But I don't know many people who've adopted children. Well, my brother did. He adopted two children, him and his wife. They had no natural children, but they did adopt two. So I do know that. But
thank you, Robert. And to what Bill was saying, you know, it talks about the girl here who lay in a bed out of wedlock. How many single moms are raising their kid? I know of several men that are raising kids without their wife. The woman abandoned the child, but the majority of the time, it's the man who has, like Elon Musk, has children with five or six different women and isn't doing his responsibility to be a father and show up for his children. And with human trafficking, these carnal desires of primarily men abusing and stealing and harming these children, and the abuse that takes place of these children in foster care and the orphanages. Remember, it was already programmed. So these things were known, the end from the beginning, and the opportunity for us to come here in mortality and have a body and experience and know what we're coming into beforehand. We have to remember that all of this is at play. And all of these things are testifying for and behalf of or against us with our choices and how we choose to listen that abuse is happening and support those in whatever form they come to try not to have the judgments, but to love and understand how we can fit in with our talents and experiences to assist and help instead of making the problem bigger, keeping the children in their homes, but caring and helping children that we're aware of that are being abused and stopping that system. My friend's children, they had moved to a different country and had their children in daycare, and that daycare was completely supporting a ring of child pornography where these children were being videotaped all day long and the police were in on it and contributing. So, I mean, this kind of behavior happens all around us, not just in Africa or Nigeria, but he's specifically pointing out those two places because of the disease that came out and wiped these. It's not because these people didn't want to live these principles, but there was something that was allowed to happen with this disease to create this disruption of the family. And now what? What are we going to do with it? It's all for our learning and experience and understanding in our mortality and assisting these children and everybody growing as one whole to create that Zion in our hearts and amongst everybody is kind of a thought. So thanks, Bill, for bringing that up.
Thank God for women.
Yeah.
Yes. I just saw a report that said, I think it was 40% or 60% of households are now headed up by the women who are standing up and supporting the family the best they can without the man being there. Thank God for women. That's something where we might lift our prayers up to God to give them strength as they carry out that work, that nurturing work.
Yeah, and pray for the men. Pray for the men.
Yeah, get.
Also, because children need a father, that example. Otherwise,
and again,
it's also not good if only a woman of not good, but... Well, it's better that it's...
That's what we have. That reminds me of Isaiah, where he said, a man will be as rare as the golden wedge of Ophir. And that's because men don't get it.
No, they don't have the motherly...
Straight me out there, Russell.
Yeah, Russell? Because I keep not finishing. But I did want to mention about Elon Musk. I did hear him say that he supported his children from many mothers. I don't know anything more about him except that statement he made. And so I don't think he's totally unsupportive of his children.
No, his eldest daughter did something where she took on her mother's maiden name and didn't want anything to do with her father anymore, no association whatsoever. So, teenagers go through their experiences. I don't know the details. It was just that in and of itself, where he had twins the other day, a couple months ago, and a month later had twins with another, had a child with another baby, a baby with another child through a surrogate mother. So there's just some interesting things going on. It was just something to point out. That's all.
Okay, thank you. So I think this clearly makes this makes it clear that if you want to change this, you need a good basis and a foundation, which is the same for all eternity. So I really think this is really profound to learn about the whole adoption thing and caring about your own garden or your own children and the whole sacred ground and the prioritizing of learning about the restored gospel, the second invitation. So I think it would be good if you are with me to go to the next verse, because every verse helps a lot. So any volunteers to read verse 70? Darla, go ahead.
Now, however, I ask you and let you know if there have any indeed any religion, if they, if there have any, I'm sorry, if there have any indeed, okay, if
Let's keep
there have
reading.
indeed any religion among the children of men that really and truly cares with these little ones that in somehow were in disregard by discarded by their own. There, perhaps any organization among the Latter-day Saint movement that was originated from the restoration of my gospel, which indeed corresponds to that of my gospel, which indeed corresponds to that which truly must take in the orphans to my Father's sight.
Thank you. Isn't it amazing? Two times, three times. Indeed. So it doesn't correspond. He's offended. The Lord is offended. Like I needed time to feel offended personally, but that the sacrament was wrong in the church. It we're tuning. We have to really feel it. And here it really puts it on the front that any organization among the Latter-day Saints movement, so this also helps so much about our responsibility to be to invite and to try to make them feel, our brothers and sisters of the first invitation and all the branches. So, Darla, did you have any feelings while reading this now?
No, I was too self-conscious that I couldn't read, so I can think about it now, though.
Okay.
That's on.
Now, shall we go ahead? Because this is for me, let's do the other one too.
I think that he's saying there's not any organization that of the restoration that's doing it. So it's not, I mean, in here he's going to start talking about LDS specific, but he's kind of upset with all of us who have,
Come
a
on.
first invitation, that we're all falling short.
Amen.
I'll read verse
So
71.
okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Hypocrites is what you really are. For they boast of being the own and true living church upon the face of the earth. They claim themselves of being my representatives by allocating only a small part of everything they retain to send rations to the hungry little ones in countries below the level of misery. And with that, they are exalted in taking care of orphans and widows in their tribulations, when in fact, they retain most of it for their beautiful sanctuaries that represent nothing to me today. When finally, with the amount they would, can put an end to this blemish for good among the children of men, and with this truly bring honor and glory to my name. I think that, you know, earlier talked about 150 million orphans. That builds about one or two temples. Yeah, it's amazing. If you just spend $1 million on each orphan, it's just amazing that, yeah, these resources could be redirected in a different way.
Yes, and when I was still active member, I was always like, yeah, but they're always the first to show up when there's a disaster, along with the Red Cross, you know, the Church of Latter-day Saints is showing up. And later I learned that it's only a small portion that they give, like 1% of the total amount that they have. I think it's 132 billion now, maybe, I don't know.
No, what Russell said.
Also, the sanctuaries is being mentioned, and in the news it was last week that when a temple is renovated, they strip the whole temple and throw everything away, all the furniture, all what's in there. Even if, well, it looks good, of course, because, yeah, otherwise it would not be in the temple. So there's a lot of waste going on. It's gotten out of hand.
Well, in that context, I wanted to share one more, with this verse, one more scripture, Doctrine and Covenants 123, from 13 to 15. Because this is exactly what Bauke says. Because it represents nothing to me today, you know? And I had to really, when I joined the church, I had to really, me verdedigen here.
Defend?
I had to defend the temples because of the bigness and the beauty of it, really reformed Dutch people. And here it says, it represents nothing to me. And this is why, because they don't feel that God makes little things big. They're too preoccupied with the outside and not the inside. So here we go, Doctrine and Covenants 123, verse 13. Therefore, that we should waste and wear out our lives in bringing to light all the hidden things of darkness, wherein we know them, and they are truly manifest from heaven. These should then be attended to with great earnestness. Let no man count them as small things, for there is much which lieth in futurity pertaining to the sins which depends upon these things. So, here it is. These things, like, though seeming small, and like it says here, we're helping and we're saying we're doing great, helping the orphans and with all the programs. But it's below the level. And then they're like the aflaat with the Luther, the Catholic Church. I've done well, and then I can go.
You pay an amount of money.
Yeah, and they pay an amount of money, and then you have to be a lesser time, be purified in the fire before entering heaven. It's a lie. And here, the exclamation mark, how interesting is that? And with this, truly bring honor and glory to my name.
Yes, because lately I have trouble to say, well, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I just say the Church of Latter-day Saints because, yeah, hypocrites, for they boast of being the only one and true living church. And it's not positive in the news lately. So how can it be Jesus Christ, his church, he doesn't want anything to do with it, as I read it here.
And it's the exaltation also, what I want to emphasize. One more thing with the hypocrites. I read about Jesus using the word hypocrites before in the temple, in the New Testament, while chasing out the money changers. And I read that it's a Greek word, and it comes from the theater. And they were building theaters there in the time of Jesus. Probably he worked on that with his father. Also with the back of the mind, the keys of Enoch, and that he would know the Fibonacci things and the measures. But that's where the difference starts. If you have a stage, you have somebody on the stage and somebody lower than the stage. So this is what we are brought up with this difference between men. The man in the big building and the man who is poor, and the people, like it says in the Book of Mormon, if you are poor, not only spiritually, but also materially. So it's always also all the time both. We need both. And that's why we need the focus on the graves. And what are the graves? That's the possibility to really save a soul, really help a person. Not only be busy with your own exaltation. So,
Harm.
Yes, go ahead.
I have a question. After you read 123:13, is that, do you have a dash in your book?
Yes.
So is that considered a dash that the prophet talked about in scriptures, throughout scriptures, that dash? That means there's more there, but we're not privy to it yet.
I don't think so.
What does that dash mean?
I think these dashes were put in by Orson Pratt. I mean, yeah, Orson Pratt. I don't think these are the same as the ones that Mauricio's talking about.
And does Orson Pratt have a reason why he put it on certain scriptures?
It's just English usage.
Fascinating. Okay.
So
that's my opinion. I could be wrong.
I don't know, but I think you're right.
Where's that, Blair, you're talking about?
Well, verse 11, 12, and 13.
Yeah, I have older scriptures. They're just old. But in section 123, after the verse of 12 and 13, there's a dash. There's not a period, just a line.
11.
Yeah. Oh, and 11.
Same
so
on 11, 11,
12,
also.
And 13 all have that line. I'm just curious.
Maybe for context, with the 123, it's about the small things that I stop there, let no man count them as small things, you know? But after that is the verse about the ship. You know, a large ship has benefited very much by a very small helm in the time of a storm, by being kept workways with the wind and the waves. So sometimes I forget the symbolism, the power of the symbolism, you know, in leaving this out, because I'm so much focused on a few words. But I think this is that it was known and the whole plan is manifested now. The program is running, but we have to prioritize in not counting on the arm of flesh, but on the Lord. And this is also with the prioritizing of our time, and like what Brother Bob said, within Kenya, what is the urgency for everybody to read this book and be enthusiastic? Because if you read on, I don't think we're gonna read so many verses, but it really breaks through like a light that is that it's possible, you know. I really was thinking about our dear prophet Mauricio. It's possible. He has this accent with it's possible, you know, and here the Lord just spreads it out for us, you know. Although in one piece of 74, halfway through, yeah, maybe we read, it's better. Let's read another verse.
Valera, thank you for bringing up that idea of the dash, because like Harm's talking about, it's like this light breaks through, and I think the Lord has some expectation that we all be prophets and prophetesses, so that we reach out with our feeling and we actually try to visualize these things. And by visualizing these things, I'm doing a study in another record, that visualizing opens up that channel of light and communication to you, and you actually can receive additional information through the Spirit on those topics.
Mm-hmm. First spiritually, then physically. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, that's right, Harm. That's right.
So let's read on.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, it's okay.
72 is next.
72.
72. What to say then of a man who claims himself to be the living prophet of all mankind, who calls himself revelator of my will unto the people of the church in these last days? And as soon as he is revered by millions of members who accept his words, wherever they are, as if it were my own voice, and yet do nothing with regard to the true orphans who, at almost every instant, cry out unto me for help, by starvation, by cold, for a mother's embrace that they never had, for a normal life? Want me to read on?
Yes, please.
What else would I, the Lord, want if not for my prophet to cry out in my name to the people of my church, for that they might actually experience the pure and immaculate religion, which truly reconnects us again, creature and creator, in a perfect bond of union, and would require from those who have conditions among my people to adopt. Hence, welcome an orphan into every home in the community of saints around the world.
Amazing. This is so amazing, because you can see it in front of you. And it's not a revolution, a big revolution. It's a building block. This is how it's going to be. Like what the brother Bob said, with his brother, no children, take two. Just like it says in the sealed book, everybody gets, not in one time too much, but you cannot become free if you've always been a servant. Everybody has his own skills. And so I really like the feeling of urgency here. So I would suggest one more verse and then stop the reading and then talk further about this. So I would like to read the last one myself. No, in fact, this act in itself would not put an end to this evil created by our modern society. The abandonment of minors, but as soon as these adopted children would grow up in good, honorable member homes, they would in the near future add up to a few thousand successful adults who are well acquainted with life on the streets and in orphanages. And the majority of them would be good and sincere members of my church. And finally, following the same principle stipulated by the general authorities, due to the pronouncement of a single man in a few generations, would end this evil in the world. And this, although it is not a reality,
yet.
Not yet. The vision again. I say to you that as soon as the mighty and strong one arises among the leadership of my church, that he himself will take by himself the due action in the face of my words in this revelation to fulfill the prophetic assignment on this subject. So this is the vision again. He's really very clear here. This will not put an end, this act in itself. So how does he, I was also thinking about what they say to Joseph Smith, how does he retain them? And when they ask him, how can you retain these people? And then he says, I teach them true principles. People govern themselves. So what do you want these children? That you want them to be self taking care of situation people. Strange English, must it be? But this is what the Lord wants. He wants responsible souls who are able to help themselves and family.
Yes, and when you know you came from a bad situation, like left without anything, left without family, and then you come into a family and you're being treated with love, then you also know the difference. So you have a bigger drive to also make it better later in your own future and not to go back to that bad situation. So probably the people who are being adopted will try to do better.
And acquainted.
But I also have to say that being adopted is also not always easy, of course. So you need good education also on that. There's a lot of trauma, of course, as I can imagine, with the children. But great vision.
So well acquainted. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Brother Bob.
Well, I was just wanting to comment in general. My experience with the Second Invitation goes back 2017 to the first video conference between Joseph Frederick Smith and Mauricio Berger before any of the missionaries from North America went to Brazil. And over the years, it was Mauricio shared about the angel Moroni giving instruction, and the man on the top of Mount Agudo or whatever mountain they were on, I believe it all took place on Agudo, would record Moroni's voice on their phones, and then they compiled whosever phone they were using. I guess they compiled all these verses that we have now in this revelation, section one, well, whatever section, article one. But when it was first started to be, Mauricio would originally gave the context of these verses to some of the authorities in North America, but he had redacted many of the verses. And so it wasn't until recent years that we have all 112 verses or whatever this is. And these verses that we're reading were redacted and not given out until recently, probably within the last year, at the time when Brother Mauricio was directed to compile the revelations for the church. And Mauricio asked a couple of the authorities, is the church ready for this? You know, these verses, should these verses be published? And so it was kind of an optional. I think we would still not have them today if the advice was no. But because what I'm getting at is that when we read these words, there's a responsibility that goes with them. And we I think we all know that the Lord requires that action be taken, that we respond to them. And I think we're starting that. We're all touched in our hearts, you know. It's stirred within our soul, this, you know, a reaction to this. And but there is a responsibility that we need to fulfill. Now, this verse here seems to point to me that there, we could lay it all on this one mighty and strong that's yet to come. But I don't think that's what the intent is here. I think in my mind, what do we do from here about these verses on the orphans that we're reading? And there's still many verses left to go. It seems that the church could prepare now to help the family that wants to adopt an orphan. Through education would be one. Just how do I adopt a child, you know, and what are the issues that I will face? And I think that could be a ministry developed within the church to help families. And then there is a financial side of it. I know locally here in Independence, once in a while you'll see like a fundraiser that the people are giving for someone to raise money to adopt a child, because there's significant costs in the United States anyway to adopt a child. And so those are two areas that the church could start to get involved in, just to help a family know what to do and to help and we could even develop a fund through donations if people wanted to help other people financially with this. But I do think it needs some kind of a, we need to do something with it. Thank you.
You know, I think it's exciting to hear that these revelations came out from your understanding in 2017 and that we weren't ready to hear them. And when you're talking about educating in the homes for what you're up for, giving an overview of what to expect is great, but each of these children are coming damaged and abused and have different problems that they're coming in into this world. I mean, from my experience, when they're drug babies, they have a lot of times the inability to feel guilt or remorse because their brains couldn't develop properly in the womb because of the drugs their mother was ingesting in utero. So there's just so many things that we cannot even begin to be prepared to know how to guide these children in our homes except through direct revelation with our Father in heaven when we choose to take these children into our homes, knowing that it is going to take us to the brink of our sanity in guiding and directing and having to be close at hand with our Savior to know what his children need and to love them in spite of their issues that are difficult. And being able to do that and supporting the families, I applaud Mauricio for having this place of refuge and for trying to undertake creating a different opportunity for these children as the Lord has commanded. It is going to require all of our strength and love and compassion, and for us to pray for charity that we may have it with our fellow men and not judging these birth mothers that we don't know their circumstances of how they couldn't raise their children and put them in a situation giving them a chance of a better home. We can't judge. We have to go to the Lord and understand how to help and what our role is, because each of us has a different role. It's not that each of us are supposed to go out and adopt one. Maybe it is, but we have to pray to understand how we can be part of the solution in moving forward and supporting with either funds or time or creating a space or bringing them into our home or facilitating it. The only thing the LDS Church has really done is created the adoption thing, and that's a moneymaker and has had many problems. You look at the Indian program where they tried to bring the Native American children into the homes, and that was devastating with the abuse and devastation that it caused within that community. So there's just so many things that we can't do this with our mortal understanding. It requires a link from the Lord in that individual revelation for every situation. But I'm excited to see this roll forward under Mauricio's instructions.
Thank you so much, Darla. This is why I wanted to stop here, because it really says, although this is not a reality
yet,
it will be. It really will be, and this is the way forward to fulfill the prophetic assignment on this subject. And let everybody, I want to emphasize the hands-on mentality here, these verses, and sharp tone, because it's about the children. You know, this is the they're not guilty. They didn't have the, and maybe it's also to realize, as the first in the second invitation, that we realize how much the Lord has blessed us in our personal lives to be able to read these words and ponder them in our hearts, what we could do to do this, to make this a reality. So any final thoughts or remarks, Brother Robert?
There's no period. There's no period at the end of this paragraph, so the subject's not closed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. Well, I was thinking everybody knows it would be a good beginning again.
Sure. Yeah, I think that'd be good. I'll end the recording.
Yes.
Thank you.